Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Avodah Zarah Perek Chet. This perek begins as a continuation of the last perek and discusses cases where the usual Isser Hanah from Avodah Zarah does not apply. Halacha Aleph. Kol she'ein bo tfusat yad adam velo asahu im ne'evad harei ze mutar bahanaya. לפיכך הגויים העובדים את ההרים ואת הגבעות ואת האילנות הנטועים מתחילתן לפירות ואת המעיינות הנובעים לרבים ואת הבהמה, הרי אלו מותרים בהנאה. Avodah Zarah is only forbidden if it has tfusat yad adam, meaning it was either made from scratch or at least significantly changed by human hands. But something which is part of nature, like a mountain, an animal, a spring, or a tree, we refer here only to an already existing tree which someone decides to worship, not to a tree expressly planted for the purpose of worship, which we'll discuss later in the perek. Any of these things does not become asur bana if it is worshipped as avodah zarah. This is learned from Dvarim Perek Yudbet Pasuk Bet, which we read in the last perek, Abed Tabdun, which speaks about destroying idols Elohim al Harim Harim Abal HaGevaot, idols located on top of mountains and hills, not mountains and hills themselves, which were worshipped as idols. The Rambam continues later in Halacha Aleph, B'me Dvarim Amurim, She'ena B'ma Neseret, B'shelo Asaba Ma'ase L'Shem Avodah Zarah. אבל עשה במעשה כלשהו עשרה, כיצד, כגון ששחט בה סימן לעבודה זרה, עשה אותה חליפין לעבודה זרה, עשרה, וכן חליפי חליפין מפני שנעשית קדמי עבודה זרה. An action performed on one of these objects can be considered tfusat yad adam, which makes the object forbidden. If an animal is shechted as an offering for avodah zarah, then it is forbidden. And similarly, if it is exchanged for something forbidden as avodah zarah, then it itself becomes asur bahana, as we saw in the last perek. Even in a case of chalif bei chalipin, when an idol is exchanged for object A, and then object A is exchanged for object B, the last object is asur bahana. Later, the Rambam gives more examples of actions which constitute tfusat yad adam in Halacha Bet. Bowing down to the ground doesn't make the ground asur bana, but digging holes in it as a form of worship or service to avodah zarah does make the ground forbidden. Water in the ocean isn't forbidden if someone bows to it, but if he first removes the water with his hands, then it is forbidden. Rocks which fell naturally off a mountain are considered to lack tfusat yad adam because they were not changed by human endeavor, and so do not become asur bana if they are worshipped. We add parenthetically that even though just bowing down to an animal doesn't make it asur bana because it lacks tfusat yad adam, such an animal is nonetheless possible to offer as a korban. We'll discuss that halacha when we get to Sefer Avodah much later in the Mishnah Torah. Continuing in Halacha Aleph, B'me Dvarim Amurim B'Vehemat Atzmo, אבל אם שחט בהמת חברו לעבודה זרה או החליפה, לא נאסרה, שאין אדם אוסר דבר שאינו שלו. One can only make his own animal usser by shechting it for avodah zarah, not someone else's animal, based on the principle of ein adam oser davar sheino shelo. The Raivah disagrees, however, and points out that this principle only applies when there is no action involved. So, for example, someone can't be makdish someone else's animal as a korban. But with the act of shechita to avodah zarah, one can render another person's animal asur bana, and in fact, the Rambam in Hilchot Shechita seems to agree with this. He says there that if a goy or a Yisrael mumar shechts a Jew's animal for avodah zarah, then that animal is forbidden. But if another Jew claims to have shechted the animal for avodah zarah, then the animal is still permitted, because we assume that tziuri kamechavin, the second Jew was only trying to annoy the owner of the animal and didn't really have avodah zarah in mind. Reading the beginning of Halacha Gimel, Yisrael shezakaf leveina lishtachavot la, velo ishtachava, uva goy vishtachava la, asara bahanaya, shezakifata ma'ase, vechenim zakaf beitza, uva goy vishtachava la, asara. Chatach delaat vachayotseba, vishtachava la, asara. Ishtachava la chatzi adlaat, vachetzi acher meorebo, hareza asur misafek, shema ze achetzi kmo yad lachetzi hanevad. The Rambam adds here an important detail about the principle of Ein Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shalo. Even if a Jew just stands a brick or an egg in an upright position in order to bow down to it, and then someone else actually bows down to it, the act of standing up the brick or the egg on the part of the owner is sufficient to make it Asur Bahana after it is subsequently worshipped. After that, the Rambam writes that if a vegetable is cut in half, but both halves are connected and the owner bows to one of the halves, then even the other half is asur b'hana because it may be considered an extension or a yad, really a handle of the forbidden half. The Ravid rejects this and thinks the Rambam misunderstood the Gemara where this din appears. The Ravid's understanding is as follows. Avodah Zarah, aside from being asur b'hana, is also a source of tumah. And it is in the world of Tumah where we find the concept of Yad, a peripheral attachment which by itself wouldn't impart or receive Tumah, can serve as a handle or conduit through which the more important item it's attached to can become Tameh or make something else Tameh. For example, an apple may become Tameh if a source of Tumah comes in contact with its stem, and then it can be Metameh some liquid that falls on its stem. The stem is a Yad of the apple. And so, the Ravid explains, the Gemara which talks about the second half of the cut vegetable serving as a yad for the first half was referring only to the Tumah of Avodah Zarah, not to the Isser Hanah of Avodah Zarah, as the Rambam interpreted it. At the end of Halacha Gimel and into Halacha Dalet, the Rambam discusses the Asherah. We mentioned already that a tree lacks Tfusat Yad Adam if it was already planted and then someone decides to worship it. But if a tree was planted specifically in order to worship it, the act of planting constitutes Tfusat Yad Adam. This is an example of what the Torah calls an asherah, and it is asur b'hana. When someone makes an existing tree into avodah zarah, either by bowing to it or by pruning its branches for the purpose of worship, the tree itself remains permitted, as we explained, but anything growing from that point on, branches, leaves, fruit, etc., is forbidden. If an idol is set up under a tree, this is another form of asherah, and as long as the idol is there, the tree is asur b'hana as a meshamesh avodah zarah. The tree reverts back to being permitted once the idol is removed. In Halacha Dalet, the Rambam lists the dinim for a stone or a house which is used as a avodah zarah. For a stone, the dinim are by and large exactly parallel to what we just said about a tree. Regarding a house, there is one significant difference, namely that a house is considered to have tfusat yad adam, as it was built by human hands. Therefore, even if it was built not to be an idol, but the owner subsequently bowed down to it, it becomes asur b'hana, unlike a tree and a rock. A building which is not worshipped itself, but which houses an idol, is also asur b'hana, and it is for this reason that it is forbidden to enter a church, and thereby get hana from the shade provided by the walls and ceiling. The Rambam says that such a building becomes permitted when the idol inside is removed, but the Rama on the Shulchan Aruch requires that the idol be removed by a non-Jew with intention never to return it. It is for this reason that nowadays it is often forbidden to enter even a church which is not in active use, as this criterion established by the Rama usually isn't met. Let's read Halacha Hey, after the first couple of lines. Mishaya beito samuch levet avodah zarah venafal, asur livnoto, keitzad uose, kones letoch shalo uvone, veoto harevach memal ehu kotzim otzoa, kedei shalo yarchiv bevet avodah zarah. Haya hakotel shalo vishal avodah zarah, Yidon mechetza lemechetza, mechetza shalom mutar b'hanaya, v'shel avodah zarah asur, avanav veitzav afaro, hakol asur b'hanaya. The case here is one where the house of a Jew adjoins a temple of avodah zarah, and the adjoining wall between these two structures collapses. The Yerushalmi points out that this can only happen when the Jew's house was built first, as it is forbidden to use the wall of a temple of idolatry as a wall of your house. This constitutes hana from a structure built for avodah zarah. The Jew cannot rebuild the wall where it was, as in so doing he is giving benefit, namely use of the other side of the wall, to the adjoining temple. So he needs to build the wall inside his own property, thereby losing some of the space he previously had. And in addition, he must fill the area right outside the new wall with thorns or the like, in order to avoid giving more space to the temple next door to use for idol worship. As for the stones of the collapsed wall, the Jew may keep any stones which had been in the half of the wall on his side, if he can identify them. Alternatively, the Rama adds, even if he can't identify which stones were his, all the stones in the entire collapsed wall can be sold to a non-Jew, and the Jew can keep half the proceeds. We learned Halacha Vav in the last perek in the context of the mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah, so let's move now to Halacha Zayin. Davar she'ein bo tfusat yad adam shnevad, kigon harim uvehema ve'ilan, ava pi sha'nevad atzmo mutar b'hanaya, tzipuyav asurin b'hanaya. V'hanene b'chol shu mehen loke, shnemar lo tachmod kesef v'zahav aleihem, v'chol tzipuyei avodah zarah harei hein b'chlal meshamsheha. The Rambam mentions here the one new mitzvah of this perek, which is the prohibition to benefit from anything used to cover or coat an idol, which itself is not asur b'hana because it lacks tfusat yad adam. For example, if a hill is worshipped as avodah zarah, and its summit is coated with gold by its worshippers, then the gold is asur b'ana, even though the hill itself is not. This is learned from the pasuk in Parshat Ekev, lo tachmod kesef ezahav aleihem v'lakachta lach. Halacha chet. Avodah zarah shel goyim shebitluha goyim kodem shetavo liyad Yisrael, harei zu miteret b'hanaya, shneamar p'silei Elohim tisrfun ba'esh. B'shebau liyadenu v'heinu agin b'hen Elohut. Aval im bitlum harei elu mutarin. From here until the end of the perek, the Rambam discusses the concept of bittul, that is, how avodah zarah can be nullified. We don't mean bittul in a mixture, as we learned in Perek Zayin that this is impossible, but rather that some action is performed which cancels the avodah zarah status of the object, and thereby becomes mutar b'hana. To summarize the details in Halacha Tet, bittul can only be done by an adult goy of sound mind who is himself an idolater, and can be performed only on avodah zarah owned completely by a goy or by goyim. He can be mevatel even an idol owned not by him but by another goy, and his bittul is effective even if he does it only under duress, and even if a Jew forces him to do it. Whenever an idol undergoes bittul in this manner, its meshamshim are automatically betalim as well, but the reverse isn't true. When a meshamish alone undergoes bittul, the idol remains forbidden. We should add that bittul is ineffective for tikrovet avodah zarah. Once something is offered to an avodah zarah, the status of tikrovet can never be removed. What kind of act constitutes bittul? Let's read Halacha Yud. Ketzad mevatla, kata rosh ozna, rosh chotma, rosh etzba'a, pechasa befanea afa pishol chisra, osh mechara letzoref Yisrael, harei zo betela. Aval im mishkena, o mechara legoy, o Yisrael sheno tzoref, osh nafla aleha mapolet velo pina, ginavu halistim velo teva'a, rakak befanea, ishtin befanea, gerara, zarak ba'etatsoa, harei zo eina betela. An act which physically damages the avodah zarah, like cutting off a piece of it or striking the metal so it gets bent, is an act of bittul. Selling a metal avodah zarah to a Jewish blacksmith is also a form of bittul, as it is clear that the blacksmith will melt it down. But selling it to anyone else, or passively letting go and not seeking it out when it is stolen or buried under a pile of rocks, or performing some degrading act which does not damage the idol, like spitting at it, urinating on it, throwing excrement on it, all these are not considered acts of bittul, because all these acts are reversible and leave no permanent damage, so they may be expressions of temporary anger or neglect rather than genuine bittul. In the last two halachot of the perek, halachot yud aleph to yud bet, the Rambam adds some more details about bittul. If an idol is simply abandoned by its worshippers during peacetime and not because of the exigency of war, then this too is interpreted as an act of bittul. An altar, mizbeach of avodah zarah, remains forbidden even if a small part of it breaks off, until most of it has been demolished. Finally, an asherah undergoes bittul when a non-Jew cuts off a piece of it for his personal use, but not if he cuts off a piece in order to beautify it or help it to grow.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.